I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome to your Friday. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell out today, filling in. Mitch Harper, BYU insider for KSLSports.com, and one of the guys I like to jam with the most in this freaking station. I love it. Mitch, thanks for coming in, man.
You bet, Alex. Always happy to be on, and we're going to have a lot of fun. It's a game day Friday for the Lady Utes who are in South Carolina. Big game against LSU. We got that on the television. So going to be a lot of fun today. Pro Day action to break down. I was down in Provo with BYU Pro Day. A lot of interesting observations from that. So let's have a lot of fun.
Mitch is fresh off it. What he's not telling you, you're trying to sound all buttoned up, Mitch. You've been running ragged all freaking day. Between like, he's in Provo, and then he's like, I'm on my way. I'm like, I know. Look, don't worry about it. Just come in. Let's just have a good time on the show. That's the whole point. And so that's where we're at. Miami, by the way, moved on out of that other Greenville regional. The
Cavender Twins.
Cavender Twins versus Alyssa Peely. I like that matchup next if they can get past the do you call them Lady Tigers? I don't know. Like, does everyone just say Lady? I don't really like when they just throw Lady in front of all
I think that's now – that's very like 1998.
Let's do away with it.
It's 2023. We can't – we probably shouldn't say the Lady Running Utes or the Lady Tigers, Bayou Bengals.
But I know for a fact that there's a person in this room that owns a Lady Vols light blue sweater.
That
and
is
it's
true.
Not, and it's not me. And it's not me. But Lady Vols is different because, you know, you think of Pat Summitt. Like,
yes.
That's actually a bigger brand than Tennessee Bat, like actual, like the men's, you know, team. So there's the, although they made a nice little run before they got eliminated, so. We've got tons to go on today, and so we're going to have the cut here as we jump into the top of the program. And so let's do it. Let's get officially started on our Friday. Right here, it's the cut.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, The Cut presented by, and our show presented by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients, no preservatives, plenty of protein. G2G Bars, perfect for anybody who needs that quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. Go to G2GBar.com. You can also find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, Associated Foods, etc. Oh, by the way, Mitch, there's some in the fridge outside. You can grab a G2G Bar out there, bro. Those are complimentary for filling in on the show for Scott. Normally, they're a dollar. That you have to pay straight to me. But today you can have one for filling in on the show. Okay, we got a couple of things going. And so Pro Day, I want to know because everybody is all up and down about this whole thing, Mitch, where BYU is going to go to this Big 12. I don't know if you know this, BYU is going to the Big 12, but they're going to go to the Big 12 Pro Day that has been combined now for an NFL package TV situation where you're going to be able to just get all the Pac-12 teams and the guys who I guess are going to get invited, because the way that they do it now, I would assume, would be like a more localized version, your conference version of the combine, and that requires an invite. Yeah. And that means that the 15 names that BYU had at Pro Day today would likely get cut down. And I know a lot of people probably would like to have those guys get their looks, but I'm a big fan, actually, of the Big 12 centralized Pro Day, something that we'll be able to kind of watch. And then you're going to get, I mean, realistically, BYU's Pro Day today with 15 guys, mm-hmm. how many of those guys would have been invited to a Big 12 mini combine, I guess, that they would have after the combine that starts up next year?
I'd say three. I'd say the big three and Jaren Hall, Blake Freeland, and Puka Nacua.
Yeah.
I think those would have been the three guys. And I do think that this conference wide Big 12 Pro Day will be a good thing, because I think what was noteworthy, I thought today, Alex, was when, you know, Zach Wilson threw at Pro Day a couple years ago, it was the who's who of NFL personnel and executives inside the indoor practice facility. And I wasn't expecting, you know, GMs, but I thought maybe there might be a chance for some head coaches to get a second glimpse at Jaren Hall, because he's at one of the most important positions at quarterback. And that just wasn't the case. And, you know, Kentucky's Will Levis, he had his pro day today, and I think a lot of the notable NFL people were in Lexington for that. But I think a conference-wide pro day in the Big 12, for someone like Jaren Hall, you're throwing in front of the GMs, the head coaches. Those people are going to come.
Right.
Whereas instead, this was just the scouts. I'm still not sure if all 32 teams were there. I didn't see all 32. I know at Utah, they had 31 of the 32. I just, off of freehand counting, I don't believe I saw all 32. But still, you know, I thought
they had parking spots for all 32, I noticed, on their social media.
But I think that's something that, you know, you might take away the chances for players that didn't get much run in game days at their BYU career, but I think it'll amplify the stage for a Jaren Hall to impress more personnel hands-on, because I thought that was kind of telling of where Jaren, Puka, and to a lesser degree Blake Freeland stand in this draft process, is that these GMs and executives are not there in Provo. Because if they were ready to spend expensive draft capital on those guys, they would be there, and they would be interviewing those players.
Like Zach Wilson, John Beck was there running the overseeing his quarterback, right? A guy who he's been working with for a long time. And Jaren, we have a couple clips from him, a couple from Puka Nacua from today. So here's what Jaren said about what he's trying to accomplish on a day like today down in Provo at Pro Day.
Just the ability to make every throw off platform on the run, just to show some mobility in the pocket. Just small things that can separate me from other people and show off my skill set. Combine, you threw everything under center, threw it all in the pocket. So today we just want to do a lot on the run to show the mobility side of things.
So he had an agenda. I want to go to the mobility side of things, show what people I can do outside of the pocket. Do teams want to see that, though? Or are they going, I want more of that? Or do they look and go, I like that you can scramble. I like that you can get around, but we're not looking for the dual threat quarterback necessarily. Or would a team like, I know his name's been thrown out there with the possibility of maybe Seattle picking him up. Yeah. That might be a nice team for him because they're used to that kind of a system. Is that the kind of thing that he was trying to accomplish? So you go, hey, there are a handful of teams that would love to see that side of me, and they might like me more if I do this, and I would have a little bit more of a shot maybe to get picked up in that fourth, fifth, sixth round. Is that kind of the idea?
Definitely. And I thought that, you know, his NFL combine performance, he didn't perform the best.
Right.
And I think he needed to hit it out of the park with this passing script just to kind of let people know what we're talking about. I mean, when you think of Zach Wilson, that rocket throw he made, that was the stage Jaren Hall was talking about. And he did have a similar throw to that one. His very last throw to Puka Nacua, it was an off-platform throw, deep ball to Puka, and it was a great ball, and it was a great catch by Puka. So Jaren showed a little bit of the arm strength, but he's never going to be that guy that has that cannon for an arm. I mean, he's got a better arm than I think scouts and, you know, NFL draft nicks maybe give him credit for, but I think that he's going to be that guy that stays on script. He's going to be a leader. He's going to be some. I mean, I asked Kalani about that today, and he tells NFL teams, that's what he's been saying, is just that you're getting an incredible leader. And I think that's going to be something that wins over a lot of people, to where if you're in the sixth round or seventh round or maybe fifth round, you say to Jaren Hall, like, we can trust this guy's going to come in and be a positive influence in the organization. And when you say Seattle, you know, Geno Smith's not the long-term answer. He could maybe be that guy in 2 or 3 years, Jaren Hall. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes. I still feel, though, right now, Alex, that he's locked in kind of as a day three guy. And I feel like his 40 time, too, was something that really doesn't elevate a stock. It was solid, a 4.62 unofficial, but it wasn't anything that just, like, catches the attention. Like, I got to, you know, go up and get Jaren Hall.
See, I don't know if you need that too, because I do, like, look at guys who are effective runners as quarterbacks. Like, and the run first thing is you can't do that anymore, I don't think. And I was thinking about Russell Wilson's combine numbers, because I remember thinking the same exact thing about what his numbers were at the combine. I have to go back, but I wanted to see, because I remember that it wasn't fantastic either. His was a 4.58. So, I mean, similar number, but I mean, like, people aren't going to question whether or not Jaren is athletic, you know. Yep. And they're not going to ask if he's fast, really. I mean, in the end, these guys are looking for somebody who's going to be a little bit of a difference maker, somebody who hopefully could sit behind a guy, maybe learn a thing or two, could come in and be effective for a minute if they were asked to do it. So here's what Jaren said, though, about the 40, because you can opt not to do it and just go, I have what I have on paper. People have seen me at both the Senior Bowl and also at the Combine, but he chose to run it. Here's why he said he wanted to do that.
I was just healthy today. You know, I felt better about it. My ankle felt recovered. Still didn't have a ton of time to prep for it, but I just want to show that I'm an athletic guy, just confirm whether it was on tape. Tried not to press too much about it, but just want to show that I can kind of do everything I need to.
The thing that's tough about that answer is, too, Mitch, is I think that that's one of the knocks, too, is how much of a stretch of health has he had. I mean, there's always something. Every year it seemed like there was a ding here, a nick there that kept him out of action. And that was always – that's always – and Puka Nacua, same thing. Scott brought something up the other day where he goes, wide receivers don't get hurt this often. And he's been hurt a lot, it seems like. Are those the kind of things that GMs look at and go – He's fragile. What kind of an effect does that have on guys making decisions?
I think it definitely has an impact. And I think the 40 time, too, with Jaren, I think maybe took on a grander stage, in my view, because he's viewed as being a guy that's not elite in one particular thing. Whereas Zach had that elite characteristic of just the cannon for an arm, and that's what really separated him. And he was also in a COVID class that was much smaller than one that Jaren Hall's in now. So I think that's where the 40 took on a grander stage, I think, for Jaren Hall. And I think that's one of the reasons why he wanted to run, because I think it could have elevated his stock. And I think maybe it did. A 4.62 is solid. It's an unofficial time. But I think that, you know, the injuries with Puka, it was funny watching him do the vertical jump today, because you're right. I mean, every season, even when he was at Washington, his availability was not always there because of injuries. But during the vertical jump, he, you know, kind of knocked his hand a little bit into one of those sticks that you try to hit to count your inches in the vertical. And just like, Puka's always getting just kind of banged up a little bit. But man, Puka, though, is the type that not only he shines on this stage, but when you watch the film on him when he is fully healthy, like that Boise State game, that's when Puka Nacua is at his best. And you hope, for his sake, that's what, you know, NFL teams ultimately turn to, and they invest some draft capital into Puka.
Speaking of Puka Nacua, let's listen to what he said about there are some specific teams. And you know, a lot of times people say, hey, what teams have you been talking to? And guys will go, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of teams out there. But I was glad that he actually got a little bit specific about some of these teams who maybe want to get a second look at him.
I've met with the Seahawks and the Patriots probably the most. I've met with the Chiefs and the Cardinals and the Jets. I feel like I play the game super physical, so they love my physicality. And then also this year, I feel like I didn't track the deep ball as well. So today, that's why that last catch of the day was big for me, to make sure I know I feel like I can track the ball well down the field, but trying to make sure I can continue. I left my feet a lot this year, so staying on the ground and staying healthy. I've dealt with some injuries and stuff, so trying to get big for the physical game that we play, but then also stay as
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
As explosive as I can.
Where does he realistically go, Mitch, on draft day? If you're a Puka fan, maybe you're thinking he's a second, third round guy, but that's just not the case. So where does he end up?
I think it's sixth to seventh round or maybe undrafted. I think it's just because of the position, too.
Yeah, so many guys.
I think, like, the wide receiver, they just have so many quality pass catchers, and they almost fall off trees. I know that it's not the case, but just it does feel that way in a sense with football and with how much of an emphasis there is in the passing game. There's just so many good receivers. I mean, you see so many times in NFL seasons where an NFL team will call someone up that maybe was expected to be on the retirement line. They just call them up, and then they're inserted to a team
right. Midway
through. That just happens. So there's this feeling around wide receivers that you can always find someone that can add value to your 53-man roster. And I think that kind of hurts Puka a little bit. But, I mean, I've always said that I feel like he's one of the best receivers in BYU football history. And because of his talent, he was amazing when he was coming out of Orem High School. He went to Washington and ends up at BYU. And I think he got better as a football player at BYU, but just the injuries limited his availability. And, you know, I just don't think there was any sort of metrics today that were, wow. He had a 10-1 in the broad jump, which was, I thought, a pretty solid number for him. 4.59 unofficial in the 40, which, you know, good. I mean, solid number. But I just think that he's probably a late day three guy. And I think if whatever team gives him the opportunity, he's going to make the most of it. And I would not bet against Puka Nacua, because that whole family, they've had success in the game of football. And I would not bet against Puka Nacua finding a way to stick in the NFL and carving out a career.
It says something when you're like, is one of the most electric guys you've seen in program history, considering the wideouts that have come out and,
sure,
and guys who've been so good for BYU over the years. But I don't think anybody will say otherwise that he is one of the most athletic dudes who's been at that position, has been as electric and as exciting as anybody you've seen at that position. You just didn't see a ton comparatively to some of these guys who are, you know, game in and game out, played 40 games, you know, that kind of thing, had a couple of 1,000-yard seasons. So I'm excited for the future of these guys. I do love that they are answering just – and this is something Scott always talks about, and you hear Hans talk about too, where they're like, they will dig in, man. They will ask you some insane questions. They will have medical histories on you that you didn't know existed, and they find it. Here's what Puka said about how crazy some of these combine questions actually get.
They knew every answer they were going to ask. Like, every question they had, they knew the answer. They just were waiting for me to say it, like, make sure I gave them the clear answer that they knew was coming. But I guess maybe then them other knowing, like, my whole girlfriend's name, like, her Instagram. Like, they were like, I think it was the Patriots I was interviewing. They're like, so who's going to move out with you if we draft you to New England? I'm like, oh, maybe one of my brothers. And they're like, oh, so, like, your girlfriend Hallie Iono's not going to come? And I was like, I don't know. Probably, like, maybe. I don't know. I haven't really thought about that. And he's like, she's got about, like, 30,000 Instagram followers. And I was like, he's like, yeah, that's about triples yours. And I was like, okay, we're insulting me now. Like, I didn't know. I thought this was a job interview for me. And he's like, yeah, like, her brother's in, like, Netflix movies and stuff like that. I'm like, yo, are you asking about me or my girlfriend? Like, what the heck's going on? Like, I get it. Like, yeah, she's my girlfriend, so I'm excited. Like, yeah, I know this stuff about her, too. But now I feel like you're insulting me. Like, I'm not cool enough. Like,
you find yourself wondering, how do they get this intel?
Yeah, I was like, yo, like, I'm like, dang, I need to stay off Instagram now. Like, I'm worried.
I love the I mean, that's insane, right?
Yeah.
I guess I have to ask questions, but, like, what is that line of questioning?
These scouts are getting deep in the weeds.
But what
man.
Would they try to find? What would they want to know about that? Be like, she's going to be
how
like,
serious is the relationship? Is my thought. I guess
like maybe like, he gets maybe yeah maybe gets his heart broken partway through the season and he's in the tank. Or is it like we want to avoid a Brittany Mahomes situation, right? Maybe they're going. She's wearing a lot of yoga pants and kind of getting a little bit too much attention here. Would she be trying to steal the limelight from you? Could we rely on her in the suite? Not to be trash talking people up in the stands. Like that is the weirdest line of questioning. But again, this is it's also what they do because they want to find out what kind of a person you are or what you're going to bring to the organization. I guess. I mean, it's just so funny the stuff that they do ask. I saw that you liked this post at 3 a.m. and that's kind of a controversial figure. I saw you like this political rant that was going on over here. It's like, no, thank you.
The whole process is so strange, Alex, because we're watching, you know, these 40 drills and vertical jumps, broad jump. And it's like you're watching a guy in Chris Brooks, a running back, who he showed pretty well today. And he's just basically in underwear. He's got nothing else on. It's like, how does this translate to the field and Sundays in the fall? I don't know. I mean, it shows the explosiveness and the athleticism. I get all that. But the whole dynamic, this whole process is kind of weird when you kind of just scale it back and go, yeah, just a bunch of guys running in their underwear, and they're asking, and then these teams are asking questions about their Instagram followers and their girlfriends. Like, is this football related again, or what
you know,
are we talking about here?
Probably not. Probably not. At that point, I think that the scouts have a thing between them, too, where they go, dude, watch me ask this. I'm going to ask him about his girlfriend. All you're telling me is that scout is you got creepy on Instagram with Puka Nacua's girlfriend. Like, that's all you told me is that at some point at 1 in the morning, you were in a hotel room, and you're scrolling through her, and you went, ooh.
And, of course, it was the Patriots.
Bill Belichick's like, I want you to ask about their girlfriends. How many Instagram followers does she have?
Puka like, does seem like a Patriots receiver,
yes,
though.
Yes,
he does seem like that N'Keal Harry, like that type of build.
They'll exact some amount of athlete. Like, they will get everything out of him if he goes there. Yep. I love that the Seahawks are talking to him, though.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun if he and Jaren both went to Seattle? It'd be fun. All right, let's take a break here. Advanced Window Products, sponsoring this portion of the show. From their factory to your front door in 8 weeks. Affordable windows, guaranteed. Check them out, advancedwindowsusa.com. Advancedwindowsusa.com. Let's get a couple $1,000 off. You go there and get it done. Let's figure it out with these guys. They are so good at their job. Check them out, advancedwindowsusa.com. We will come back. We've got so much more and so much fun stuff to jam about on a Friday. And Matt Biamonte,
I know that guy.
Yes, the co-host of Cougar Sports Saturday with our own Mitch Harper. He'll join the program. I want to see what his thoughts were on BYU's pro day. Matt will give it to us more straight. We can't get straight answers out of Mitch sometimes, so we're going to get it straight from Matt. So we'll come back. More to go on a Friday. Stay right here with us as we get you ready also for Jazz basketball coming up right after our program as well. Stay with us right here at 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.